MyBookieMT.com.
Right at the top, we all go inside the Beltway with Talk Radio News. A pleasure to welcome Ellen Ratner to the show again. And Ellen, a couple of big things happened. One, what was the reaction to Obama calling for transition in Egypt to start right now?
Well, first of all, it happened quite late in the day. At first, there was supposed to be a briefing at 12:30, then it moved to 2:30. At 6 o'clock, I'm sitting at the White House, and there's no briefing and no announcement not to be have a briefing. And when they announced that he was going to make this message, then they said there would be no briefing. So I think what, honestly, if I can understand how the White House works, this is they were scrambling for, A, what to say and how to present this. And there was obviously some major debate on that today.
Wow, no kidding. The other thing that I'm sure that was tossed around a lot is the fact that Mitch McConnell talked about forcing a Senate vote on health care repeal. I mean, we knew that he had mentioned this before, but now I guess it just becomes sort of official.
Yes, and he wants to basically put it on the FAA bill. And there are other people saying, look, we need this FAA. We need to figure out our airline industry clean and simple without this being on there. But they also agreed to some kind of rule reform so that Republicans can make amendments, and the amendment they're going to try and make is to get rid of health care reform.
Yeah. And when do you think all that's going to happen? When are they pushing for that to happen?
Well, the debate is scheduled this week, et cetera.
Wow. Okay, so then we'll keep our eyes on that one, obviously. What else was the big buzz on the day inside the Beltway?
Well, the other buzz, of course, is what they're going to be doing with the budget. You have Claire McCaskill teaming up with a Republican and more than one saying, look, I don't even care if I lose my seat. She's from Missouri. I think Bob Corker from Tennessee is the guy she's teaming up with. But we need to have a bill that says we can only pay 20.7% of our GDP, and right now we pay like 24.7% of our GDP for government. So that's number one. And number two is that the other thing that's happening is that they are going to look at ways of cutting down on the budget. In fact, there are some Democrats that are saying they want a constitutional amendment to make a balanced budget. That's not going to happen. But there's all kinds of budget proposals and all kinds of strange bedfellows teaming up together from Democrats and Republicans to try and put their version of sort of cutting things back.
Yeah, the fuzzy math, I like that the best.
Well, there's a lot of fuzzy math going on in Washington, D.C.
Of course. Ellen Ratner, thanks so much, Talk Radio News.
Thank you.
All right, you heard Ellen say that obviously she's covered the White House for a very long time. They were scrambling to come up with what the message was going to be about Mubarak and this transition, because Mubarak saying that this will be it, he won't run again. Of course, the people protesting in the streets want him gone now, not in a couple of years. So the White House reacts to this, and behind the scenes, they must have been crafting some sort of a message. Here's what that message sounded like. Obama, very, very late, as Ellen said, into the day, had this to say.
We've borne witness to the beginning of a new chapter in the history of a great country. It's my belief that an orderly transition must be meaningful, it must be peaceful, and it must begin now. We stand for universal values, including the rights of the Egyptian people to freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, and the freedom to access information. We hear your voices. I have an unyielding belief that you will determine your own destiny. I want to commend the Egyptian military for the professionalism and patriotism that it has shown thus far in allowing peaceful protests while protecting the Egyptian people. He recognizes that the status quo is not sustainable and that a change must take place.
All right, change must take place, but the problem is, Mr. President, that the people want the change to take place right now. So once again, I think there's a little bit of a sidestep here playing on Mubarak trying to quell the protests by saying, I will leave. And I'll make it a peaceful transition, but it's not going to happen today. I'm just not going to run again. That I'll step down next time around. I won't run. I'll just try to keep on point of stability and push through economic changes and all this other sort of stuff. But the crowd in Cairo isn't buying it. Like I said, they're chanting all kinds of anti-Mubarak things. There's slogans and signs and everything else. So people were screaming, your last day will be Friday. And that refers to the Muslim prayer day when more demonstrations are planned. So Egypt is now caught in massive chaos. Certainly now we're heading into 9-10 days of this. So stepping down in the future is absolutely not going to appease any kind of an orderly transition. There's no way, no how. So the president saying the status quo is not sustainable, and this orderly transition has to be meaningful and peaceful and has to begin now. It's not beginning now because the same old guy who's been in power for 30-plus years is saying, I'm going to stay here, but I'm going to help with the transition, and that's not working. So ultimately, what happens in Egypt? And the problem is the crowd going to get a bigger, a little bit more radical? What's going to happen? The Muslim Brotherhood is saying, let's get the Egyptians ready for war against Israel. Netanyahu coming out and talking about his fears for what happens with that peace accord, and then the threat from a leading member of the Muslim Brotherhood telling the Arabic language news network, whatever it is, that he would like to see the Egyptian people prepare for the inevitable, meaning war on Israel. That's what they're saying. And saying that the Suez Canal should be closed immediately and that the flow of gas from Egypt to Israel should cease, be done, gone, that's it, in order to bring down the downfall of the Mubarak regime. It's not a surprise that they would go after the canal. We've talked about that. Many of you called in and talked about, wait till you see what happens to gas. And yes, we get supplies in lots of different directions, but trust me, we still get supplies that come through the Suez Canal. Don't be fooled if you're reading something else, because absolutely there is a chunk that comes through those waters. And we certainly have ships that go through those waters. Now, Mubarak is not, I would assume, just kind of reading between the lines of what was said in Washington, it sounds as though Mubarak is definitely on his own island. I'll say that for sure, because they're not going to help him stay in power. I think seeing millions of people in the street made them play their hand, made them play some kind of a hand. Not too strong, if you listen to what the president was saying, but not backing Mubarak. They're still not doing that. So it's pretty clear that this regime, as long as the protests keep up, and I think the further they go down the road, I just don't see how he's not going to be gone. It's a question, is he forced out? Does it end up, tragically, is he thrown on some helicopter somewhere? And at the last second, does he vanish? But he's finished. I can't see how he's able to press forward. Mm-mm. We're going to press forward, though. We're going to switch gears a little bit on you. I heard a rumor that there might be a Big Lebowski 2. I love the first one. It's become a cult classic, but flat out, it is just a great movie with Jeff Bridges. Now there might be a second one. I don't know if I'm too hot on that. We're going to talk with Stephen Shohat next. We'll ask him what he thinks, along with the King's Speech.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
Peter Kranschnabel from Midas Resources. Today's February 1st, 2011. Gold opened this morning at 1340.80. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1375.78, $687.89 for a half ounce, and $343.94 for a quarter ounce. $1375.78, $687.89, and $343.94.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support of the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I've teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter ounce pure gold coin. For only $390 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with Extendivite.
Short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and the legends of the movies. And he's the tour guide extraordinaire. He knows where all the stars live. He has the map memorized, I guarantee it. And he comes on with us each and every week. Stephen Showhead is in our virtual green room. Of course, he's on the West Coast, so he's a lot warmer than the rest of you, many of you anyway, listening to America Tonight. So lucky him. He didn't give him any hot chocolate. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, very good, Caden. Everybody's always welcome to come out here to L.A. I'll take them on a nice tour.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so cool what you do, by the way. I got to ask you, since we jumped into this, what's your favorite star's house that you go by?
First of all, I don't do that as much as I used to. I'm doing more city tours because they put the limits on the buses, and the bus that I drive is too big to go by the stars' homes. I'd probably say Aaron Spelling, the late Aaron Spelling's house, which is the biggest house there is, 56,500 square feet. I never had this happen to me, unfortunately, but Aaron Spelling used to come out and talk to the people on the tour buses and ask their opinions about new show ideas and ask for their input and if they would watch it. And it never happened to me, but I wish that would have happened. And when I first started, it was like Jimmy Stewart and Lucille Ball were two of my favorites because they were always friendly. And George Burns was another one who was always really friendly. So just the fact that they would appreciate it and have a good time with the people was a nice thing. So I always liked that.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's jump into the Oscars. The King's Speech is getting all kinds of buzz. People are talking about the fact that, it should be a shoo-in, Colin Firth, it seems inevitable, and geez, what a performance, and across the board, the supporting cast was amazing, and a lot of people are running out to go and see it. We want to play a quick clip. Here's a little snippet of the King's Speech.
You've destroyed the happiness of my family, all for the sake of ensnaring a starved patient you couldn't possibly hope to assist.
It'll be like managing George the Stammerer, who let down so badly in their hour of need. What are you doing?
Get up! You can't sit there! Get up!
Why not? It's a chair.
No, that is not a chair. That is St. Edward's chair.
People have carved their names on it.
Listen to me!
Listen to you? By what right?
Because I have a right to be. I have a voice!
Yes, you do.
Just brilliant there. I kind of jumped into the middle of it, but as I said, Colin Firth, Helena Bonham Carter's in it. Just a great movie from all accounts. I haven't seen it yet. You've seen it because we talked about the writer. You were going to see it.
Love it. It's a great story how it came together, too. It was a screenwriter named David Seitzer, a British screenwriter. As a young boy, he was traumatized by World War II and had a stutter. And eventually he cured it through therapy. And then he found out that King George had a stutter and wanted to do a script on it. In the 1970s, he approached the Queen Mother. She said, absolutely not. I will not help you. It's too painful for me. And he thought, well, you know, I'll have to wait till after she passes on. And she ended up living another 23 years or so to the age of 101. Mm. And by that time, Seitzer's career had really slipped. He didn't really have good screenplay prospects, and so he ended up making it a play. Well, the director's mother, Tom Hooper is the director. His mother was invited to a reading of the play. She thought, oh, this will probably be terrible. She went. She thought it was fantastic. She called up her son and said, I've got your next movie. And meanwhile, after Tom Hooper got involved and read it, then they wanted Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Rush's agent, excuse me, absolutely mm-hmm. would not read it. They couldn't get it to him. So they found a friend of his, a neighbor, to stick it in his mailbox, which is just not proper in the movie business. You're supposed to go through the agencies and channels, otherwise there could be lawsuits. But Jeffrey Rush read it and said, if it's a movie, I'm in. If it's a play, I don't want to do it. And so it was developed as a movie. Money was raised very quickly. Colin Firth auditioned, got the role. And it all came together. The Harvey Weinstein picked up the distribution rights, and it looks like it's going to win. It's at the point where it's such a big favor to win, it's got to be bad mouth to lose, and that happens once in a while. When you had the movie Saving Private Ryan, for example, there was bad mouthing about the movie in town. People saying, oh, it's only good for 20 minutes, and then the last 20 minutes of the movie is sentimental schlock. With this movie, The King's Speech, you're hearing criticisms like, for example, the king in real life was not on the side of Winston Churchill as presented in the movie. He was more of a Chamberlain appeaser guy. And also other things like the use of the F-word. I mean, this movie is rated R, and the much more racy Social Network is rated PG-13, and it has to do with the scene that the king. Well, I don't want to give it away, but he swears quite a bit.
Sure.
And actually, that didn't happen in real life. It was really David. Seitzer, the screenwriter who went through that in his own therapy and made it autobiographical and put it in. There's no record of the king going through that. So little things like that are being critiqued about the movie because it's such an overwhelming favor to win. And that's the only way that you can knock it off its perch, sort of, is to get Oscar voters to think, oh, well, it has this flaw and that flaw, but I think it'll win.
Yeah, and we'll find out Sunday, February 27th, 5 p.m. Pacific, and so on for the rest of us. What would that be, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern? I can't wait. I do like watching the Oscars, so that's like 25 days away. Moving from the Oscars quickly to Charlie Sheen, we threw him under the bus because he threw his coworkers under the bus the other week with this whole rehab, latest in rehab. What happens to TV shows, and I was talking about this, how awful it is for the rest of the actors when the lead character, the guy who's making $2 million, is gone. I mean, there's a chance, and they've shut down the production, there's a chance this may be the end of the series, I've even heard. So what does that do to everybody else, Stephen?
Well, they do get paid somewhat. I think they get paid half. So it doesn't totally kill them. In fact, John Cryer, who's been totally supportive of Charlie Sheen, has been joking around saying, I have to find out with TMZ if I'm going into work or not. And find out his latest exploits. Usually, or often with past shows, the shows have just gone on. Now, the only similarity I can remember, and I'm sure other people can remember different things, is Frasier, was shut down for 4 weeks, I think in the fourth season, because Kelsey Grammer was having some similar type of problems, not as explicit, but similar to what Charlie Sheen is having now. But other than that, I mean, we were talking about, back when All in the Family was on, Carol O'Connor was having an extended contract negotiation. They were going to kill off Archie Bunker. They were going to have Stretch Cunningham, be the main guy on the show. And David Caruso, he left NYPD Blue and the show went on. Shelley Long, left Cheers and the show went on. So oftentimes they'll just go in a different direction. Johnny Depp, when he was on 21 Jump Street, he was absolutely miserable. And at one point they were bringing in another actor to show him, like, if you make trouble, you can be replaced. And Johnny Depp probably would have liked to have been replaced. When he got off that show after 4 years, he actually compared the experience of being on 21 Jump Street. He said, "I was like Mandela getting off that show." So, look at the Waltons. Richard
yes.
Thomas left, and they brought in another John Boy.
Yeah,
And it goes to show you I don't want to say Charlie Sheen's irreplaceable, but he's definitely in a unique position. I mean, I think he's the highest paid sitcom star of all time, making nearly $2 million an episode.
Yeah.
And they don't dare do the show without him. So that's kind mm-hmm. of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. Good stuff, Stephen Shohat. We look forward to next week. As always, we appreciate the time, buddy, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. HollywoodStories.com is the website for the book Hollywood Stories.
All right, excellent. Check it out, folks. Good stuff, as I've said before. If I read it in 2 days or so, it's really, really good. Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up around the bend, a little school bus TV. There's been these problems on the school bus with other kids picking on other kids, the bullying thing, and all kinds of problems, I think, with kids from the East Coast, the West Coast, and everywhere in between at times in some of these routes. We're going to talk about school bus TV as a solution next.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and and M10 gas masks are $3 for $30. And Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com. The Maine name in military supply.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's totally wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers, and no lingering smell. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor. See it at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes. The next generation of alternative smoking.
Coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. I hope wherever you are that you're keeping warm, because I know we got snow and ice all over the place in the Northeast. You're listening to us in Connecticut. And Philly, I was talking to my mom today. She's saying that so they've had 59 inches so far this season. That's just crazy. And, of course, the mothership in Minneapolis, they're used to it, and they make fun of the rest of us. But in the little satellite facility in Dallas, we're getting some ice, too, so I understand what that's all about. Speaking of ice, school has been canceled across the board in a lot of these places that I'm talking about. And, you know, we often talk here on this show about how important it is to keep those kids safe at school and in getting to school. So what about on the school bus? Remember, we've seen some of these fights break out on the school buses, and there's big concern about what's going on. Mansour Plummer's joining us now, and interestingly enough, he is showcasing something really interesting. It's called School Bus TV. Mansour, School Bus TV, I like the ring of that, and I think it's going to be something that's going to distract the kids on the bus. Am I right?
That's correct. It's commercial-free programming. There's no commercials. There's no commercial programming that kids would normally watch willingly at home. This is all videos that are provided by the NASA or some of the organizations like Teen Kids News, the Dairy Foundation. It's all about, you know, addressing issues like health, fitness, bullying, you know, teaching the kids, edutaining the kids while they're on the school bus and keeping them safe. There are lots of safety messages for the kids on what they need to do and need not to do while they're on the school bus.
And Mansoor, is it that all ages, in other words, grade school, elementary school, all the way up through high school, would school TV be for all those ages?
Yes. Yeah, we make sure that the content is good for kids K through 12. We can custom tailor the messages based on who's riding the school bus. The bus driver can basically hit a button and say, well, these are all high school kids, these are middle school, elementary, or just play anything. But we've got thousands of videos, and they're all short, less than five-minute videos, so we can keep the content interesting for the kids.
Yeah. And what was the genesis for this? In other words, how did you come up with the concept?
Well, we've been involved with school bus security systems, tracking systems and video systems for school buses for the past 7 or 8 years. And everything with that part of our business was all about after the fact. You know, kid does something on the bus and the cameras catch him and now he's going to discipline the kids. Well, the thought process was, you know, these kids sometimes spend, a lot of these kids will spend anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour a day on a school bus. And, you know, we need to keep them occupied in a positive way. You know, we don't want them to watch more television than what they have to. But, you know, the kind of programming that we want to show is something that will motivate them to learn something in a fun and educational way on a school bus in an informal environment. And stuff that is normally not taught in the classroom and they don't willingly watch it at home anyways. But there's some amazing, beautiful videos about, you know, that kids can learn from on the school bus.
How did you decide on the content for the videos? Because you mentioned a couple of, it sounds interesting. How did you come up with what content you would cherry pick, how you would use it, and decide what would work for the different school districts?
Well, we're not experts at the content. So what we do is we consult a lot of educators, a lot of school districts, you know, and talk to them about what they would like. We got a lot of good content from NASA. One of the educational directors in NASA did provide us a lot of video content that is basically made for kids. But the challenge is, do kids really come home and turn to the NASA channel to view this content? The answer is no, they don't really do that. So they're a good captive audience on the school bus to view this.
And is the idea for school bus TV, because I know you presented this at the Texas Association of School Administrators. You were down there for a convention in Austin. Is the idea that this will spread across the United States?
Well, we've got an awesome response from every single school district that we've talked to about this. And they all want it. They all are looking for ways to fund it. And that is the biggest challenge we have right now, is how do we get these school districts the money and the funding to be able to put this on their school buses. But they all believe that this is a great concept, and they all wanted to see it successful on all of their buses. So there's about 400,000 school buses all over the country and billions of kids riding, you know, these buses every day. So we need to be able to find funding from it through either grants or you know, private foundations or whatever, whoever might, and we've got some interest generated along those lines.
Wow. And it's interesting because you were talking about that in the last 7, 8 years doing the security side of it, you saw with the cameras what you would catch. Is the bullying, because we know it's a big concern, are we seeing that there's a lot of bullying on the bus? There's a lot of problems on the bus with shuffling of seats and that sort of thing?
You know, there's a lot of peer pressure with these kids being on the school bus. And, yes, bullying and some of these social issues are even getting worse. I mean, now there's all this issues with cyberbullying. I mean, every kid on the bus has a cell phone, and they have texting plans, and they have cameras on them. And so they're all they are basically equipped with very sophisticated equipment. And so the bullying doesn't necessarily now be just, you know, verbally abusing each other or talking face to face. There's also an electronic version of bullying. So how do you keep these kids away from these little personal gadgets that they have so that they can, you know, because they're free to use them on the school bus, you know, but they're not necessarily they're able to use them while they're inside school buildings and in classrooms. But once they get on the school bus, the whole environment changes. They're not supervised, and so there's a lot of problems that occur on school buses. So we believe that school bus TV would now, you know, basically turn their focus onto something more productive, maybe you know, even motivational content, you know, from,
sure.
Sports personalities, and you know, it really helps. We heard some really good ideas at the TASA show in Austin. I mean, we had a bunch of universities come and talk to us about how, you know, they could actually promote without promoting any particular university or anything, but just, you know, higher education, you know, so that we can reduce the dropout rate. And if you do that on a consistent basis and the kids can watch this, interesting videos about what you can do when you grow up and, you know, how can you pursue your interests and how can you educate yourself, it can really change lives.
Oh, absolutely. I'd agree with you, because whatever you can get the kids to focus on that's positive versus something negative, and you're right about that. There's different personalities, there are different gadgets on the bus, and if we're talking about 400,000 school buses, wow. And talking about the funding and trying to get the grants and maybe some of the private funding, that could be the schools. I mean, if you develop this, certainly there are great minds at some of these schools that would know who to pitch to. I think there's probably a lot of different angles. I'm sure there's been some brainstorming on this, do you think?
Well, the times are tough right now. You know, all the schools are all hurting with their budgets and stuff. And so, you know, for us, the challenge is to get the schools to devote their staff, their grant writers to basically go and identify where the grants are and get them to apply for them, you know. But it is a new concept. It'll take a little bit to get everybody on board, but we are very confident that we will be able to do that pretty quick.
And then would it be a continuous loop? So, you know, you pick me up, I'm at the third stop, and, you know, somebody's a mile down the road, so you're just running, I'm assuming, it just like anything else, it would just keep going, it'd be on a loop, in other words, and it would start again. You know, when we could be picked up in the afternoon, maybe it's something different we're watching, but you'd have something constantly going on. And would you have one monitor in the front, or would there be separate monitors? How would that work?
We normally have one monitor in the front of the bus. Now, we might entertain a second monitor in the middle of the bus in case there is obstruction due to some air conditioning units that kind of protrude out of the side of the bus and stuff like that. But we don't want to put too many of them. Plus, one monitor in the front of the bus really helps with the driver, for the driver, because all the, you know, normally the kids like to go and sit all the way in the back of the bus, and that's where all, you know, all the mischief is done and all that. Well, having the, you know, they say the good kids sit in the back of the bus, right? So,
right.
They, you know, this would encourage them to sit more in the middle and
sure.
the front of the bus.
Sure, maybe there could even, you know, thinking ahead, maybe there could even be contests for developing content, because some of these kids are pretty creative. Who knows, maybe in the individual districts, once you get through the tough times and people start to get the grants and get it, who knows what could the future could bring.
Yeah, we are, you know, we're getting a very good response from the educators. I mean, this all started for us with the transportation people, really. And, you know, transportation people are more interested in, okay, well, how is it going to make the ride safer for the kids, and
right.
how is it going to make the kids, you know, the behavior of the kids better on the school bus? Well, that it definitely solves their problem with that. But the educators love it because, you know, now the educators can do very, you know, neat things on the school bus.
Mm.
Like, for instance, if you're going to have your SATs in a particular week, well, you know, they can put up reminders, they can put up content that kids can relate to. We had an idea yesterday from somebody about, you know, somebody's got an initiative about called books for trailers for books or something like that, where, you know, books are being reviewed, kids' books are being reviewed by kids, and, you
right.
know, they're being presented in a multimedia format, and, you know, so you could play something like that. You could encourage kids to read books. So there's a lot of good that can come out of this from
Absolutely.
An education standpoint. Yep.
Yeah. I agree with you. I love the concept. I think it's great. I can't wait to see how this all folds out. Mansoor Plummer from adcompsystems.com. If you go there, you can check it out. Mansoor, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with the look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. IG.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do the collarbone bone.
Coming up here on America Tonight, we got some great exit lines for you. We haven't done that in a while. Hopefully you'll get some kind of a takeaway on this one. Maybe you'll even retell it. That's a big hint. But before we get there, a couple of quick things. Boy, our friends in Australia, could it get any worse for them? Mother Nature will not leave Australia alone. The forecasters there are saying a cyclone is posing a serious threat. They're talking about a Cat 5 that in the Queensland state, it's strengthened to that, which is, of course, the highest that you can possibly have for one of those things. You say Cat 5 to me, and I am hoping I am in the opposite direction. And they're talking about it's more likely to be life-threatening than anything that they've experienced during recent generations, period. Winds gusting up to 183 miles an hour. 183 miles an hour. It's supposed to hit anyway late Wednesday evening, according to the Australian Bureau of Meteorology. And the people there must just be saying, what next? Why us? What next? So, of course, you're going to get the rains, and you're going to have a storm a surge, and, you know, the whole high tide thing at the wrong time. But it's the winds that are, I believe, such a killer. In fact, with the weather that's going on in the United States, many of you can relate to in Chicago, it's like one of their worst storms ever. And part of that is because the amount of snow, and so you have power lines down and all that sort of stuff. But the other really tough thing to deal with. And for some reason, a lot of times this kind of gets buried. But it's the wind. It's the wind. In Texas, we didn't get, it wasn't a lot of snow, but it was ice and wind. I'll tell you, I thought after I got off the air, the house was going to fall down. It was that bad where you could hear the trees and you could feel sort of, it sort of felt like a freight train was going by. But it's mostly ice in Texas. People in the Northeast are dealing just flat out with big amounts of snow. And in Chicago, the same thing, a blizzardy kind of mix. They've got a hard freeze and frigid, frigid conditions. And yes, in Chicago and in other parts of the Midwest, you are used to severe weather, but I'll tell you, I mean, there's severe weather, and then there's, you got to be kidding me. And I think Chicago especially is in the you got to be kidding me category right now. They even talked about, I think I saw this somewhere when I was flipping around to the Weather Channel. I actually watched the Weather Channel for the first time in like 3 years. But I watched just to see the amounts and what was happening. And part of a roof panel behind home plate at Wrigley Field, part of that broke away in the wind, and boom, it just, I don't know, flew away. It's a souvenir now for someone if they could find it. And what they've done in and around Wrigley is they roped off the streets and the sidewalks because they're concerned about that. And a lot of the warnings out there are just pretty simple, short and sweet. Do not travel. Stay inside. Strong winds. Blinding snow. When you have blinding snow, that is life-threatening. If you're driving, sometimes we get a call from Rick in Illinois, and he'll talk about the terrible weather that he's driving in. Or Jay in Kentucky, he's trucking around. And so you guys see it. And when you have that snow that is blinding, I mean, that's the best way to describe it, because of the wind, I don't even know how you can drive. I mean, for me, it's got to pull over, but I guess if it's going to continue that way, it might be just as dangerous, depending on where you are, to pull over. And in South Bend, Indiana, 14 inches of snow. 14 inches. We have people listening to us in Ottumwa, Iowa. A lot of you call in Ottumwa. Nice, nice people there. A low of 12 below zero there. I'd say that's pretty cold. And it's those hard freeze warnings, too. And that's mostly what a lot of the southern states have gotten, where they say drip the faucets and, you know, beware when you get your electric bill, too, because you want to really crank up everything. But you have to do it. Otherwise, those pipes burst, and you want to talk about a nightmare. That's a real nightmare when the pipes go, and that's what happens sometimes with these frigid conditions. We started off the hour going inside the Beltway, talking about a couple of things, the budget, but also what's happening with Egypt and Mubarak saying that he would help in a peaceful transition, but not today, saying I won't run next time. And that's not going to be good enough for the people in Egypt that are in the streets. No matter what he says, no matter what speech that he gives, I don't think that he can turn these minds around. And if they continue to escalate the demands, he's going to have to, Hosni Mubarak is going to have to surrender power. I don't see any other way around this. Instead of September, he's going to have to do it now. And the Egyptian military might give him the push that's needed to help throw him out. Because there it's a question of Mubarak or the masses. They're not going to wait till the fall. And the crush of the demonstrators, the sheer volume and the voices, this may be a case where they went out. They're not going away, and Mubarak refuses to step aside at this point. And finally, President Barack Obama commended the armed forces for what he said was their professionalism in the face of angry protesters, and talked about urging the military there, for fear of seeing ugly things on video, to do what they could to ensure that the time of change is peaceful. But they took a long time in crafting whatever that message how it started to trickle out later in the day. Anyway, the White House says it's confident of its closed-door meetings, its relationships with the Egyptian military, and negotiating what's happening in Egypt. They feel pretty good about what could happen if everything falls for what it's worth. But the question becomes, who is going to be in the office of the presidency? Is it going to be somebody that's part of this whole military thing or close to the military? Is it going to be one of the opposition leaders? Is it going to be somebody else out of left field? The Muslim Brotherhood, pretty conscious of the connotations that they're tagged with the Islamist brand, if you will, and they're trying to connect, I guess, with some secular opposition leaders. So if that, in fact, is true, then you know where the slant might be. It might be El Dardaday, who's the guy who ends up taking the reins, if they're trying to cut a deal there. Bottom line is, this could drag out perhaps through the end of the week. I can't see it going into another week. If this goes over the weekend, I truly don't believe it's gonna drag into the following week. It seems as though with the amount of people and the big push, there's going to be a big push on Friday, how could they hold off and how could Mubarak hold off and just continue to stay there? I want to definitely tell you that we have a happy note to end on here. It's so rare when I say that, right? We have a happy note. Here's the good news for all of you of 401ks, for people who are somehow invested in the stock market, even if it's just a little teeny bit, who cares? You can make some money on it. The Dow was up for the first time to a level of, you know, the Dow and the S&P closed at the highest levels in 2 years. I was watching this. The Dow averaged 1.3%. It finished over 12,000, so you'd have to go back to 2008, the summer, I think, the beginning of the summer of 2008, to hit that number. And the same thing if you looked at the NASDAQ, 51 points or 1.9%. So, like I mentioned, just the working Joe who has a 401k, that has to be music to your ears, because how much has the 401k lost over the years? And so U.S. stocks had some pretty big gains on Monday, decent gains. And same thing rolling into Tuesday, ended January about 2% higher. Some of this is off of earnings, right? So Exxon was pretty high, and there were a few other blue chip companies that ended up pretty high, and that's probably why we saw those numbers. All right, here's a couple of quick exit lines for you. Feel free to steal them if you'd like to. Why did the woman divorce the grape? She was tired of raising kids. What did the TV dinner say after it had been packaged? Curses foiled again.